So, good afternoon. I'm basically here to talk to you about the physical activity guidelines research, formative research that we've been doing for the past 5 years for physical activity guidelines and recommendations. And I like this title because it says you want me to do what, and that's what a lot of the participants have told us over the years, and it's what's fun about communication research because, you know, you may not like the news, but that's what they tell us, and it's interesting. So I want to acknowledge all the other folks who've worked on this over the years, and that's CDC as well as AED and Porter Novelli, and I'm a recent newcomer to this, so I have a lot of to be thankful for. I'm going to talk about the background to why this research was done, also basically talk about the research that we have done and the findings, and then a little bit about some planned research in the beginning of the year. So over the years, there have, as Janet mentioned, there's been multiple sets of recommendations, and they seem to be contradictory. And partially, it's led to poor understanding of the recommendations themselves, partially because of poor media reporting. And you can understand, they're complicated, and the previous ones were maybe also a little complicated. We found out that there was limited awareness and knowledge about the guidelines. 72% of the people thought they knew what the guidelines were, but really only about 30% got it right. And that's from the 2003 Health Styles data, and we've found since then with qualitative research that it's pretty much the same. Some of the areas of confusion were physical activity. People wonder, what is that? Is it any activity? Is it being active in general? Or is it, you know, just, anyway, questions about it. And what does it mean to accumulate activity? What is moderate activity? And what are, you know, exercising on most days? This is the research that's been conducted over the past 5 years. There's been exploratory focus groups. There's been quantitative segment analysis with the health styles data, focus groups for message development, and most recently, in 2008, focus groups of limited health literacy audience. So we found out that the public expects, oops, we gotta put that up, that they expect a lot of from their guidelines. They expect them to be specific by sex, age, and race or ethnicity. They expect different types of activities. They want examples. They want duration. They want goals for weight loss. You know, how much do I have to do to maintain weight loss and cardio health? So that research has pretty much fed into the guidelines. So the guidelines do have some of that specificity. We also looked at segmentation. We looked at men and women and whether they pay attention to media or not. And this turns out to be a really key factor. Because men and women who pay attention to messages, they tend to be more physically active, and they like positive reinforcement. They want to know that they're doing what they need to be doing, and we need to acknowledge that they're doing something. And we need to provide them with motivation to do more. But the folks who aren't doing anything, they're not paying attention to the media. They really don't care about it, and we need to make it appear simpler to do. They also said, can you please clearly define the health benefits? Why should I be doing this? What are the benefits to that? And how do we fit it into our daily lives? What are some ideas for that? And this, I'll skip to more is better. More is better is part of the messaging now, but we've found out that it really needs to be clear because people thought, well, more isn't better. More food isn't better. More stress isn't better on my body. So really, we need to be clear about that because they were starting to use that as, it sounded like they were going to use it as an excuse. And then really include information about how you can increase, how chronic disease can be reduced, the risk of chronic disease. They also wanted specific activities, examples of activities that are aerobic and strength training. They want us to communicate both aerobic and strength training, that they're both needed for overall good health, and to demonstrate the benefits of the health benefits of strength training. They like the idea of personalized tools like logs or maps of their local area. They want a lot. So in 2008, we did limited health literacy focus groups. And those are 12 of those, and primarily with diverse groups, mainly African American. And they were segmented by age and sex, and they were really screened on physical activity, current level. So these are folks who aren't too active right now. And the purpose of this was for our website, really, to get a sense of how clear do we need to be to communicate it to the general public that's maybe not too health literate. We looked at perceptions and awareness of the current recommendations. Those were the previous ones, not the ones right now. And their reactions to the concepts and messages, as well as where do they go for their information. We found that they're generally not, most people are not aware of the guidelines, and that they did have a sense of all these health benefits. You know, most people have a general understanding that you have a benefit of improved energy and mental health and stress relief. So these were the previous recommendations, and if you think the new ones are complicated, these were complicated as well, and people had a hard time understanding the difference between moderately intense and vigorously intense, and plus doing the strength training. So this is what we asked them about. They really didn't understand quite the difference between moderate and vigorous. They tended to think that, well, you know, if they were understanding moderate at all, it tended to skew toward lighter exercise, lighter physical activity. And they were very confused about strength training. So what we did was we thought, well, we really need to show some examples of what this is. So I was able to import this, and I hope it works. So we developed videos for the website. So I'm going to play it, and it's actually 5 minutes, but this is going to be just a 2-minute segment of it. And you should note that it says 150 minutes, but we're probably changing it to maybe 2 hours and 30 minutes to make it consistent with some other messaging. Hopefully it's loud enough. Does that sound? Can you put it up? Do you know how to raise it up? Well, that's going to work. Can you hear? No. Well, you can see his lovely face. So I'm going to stop it. But basically, he talks about the differences, and he shows examples of people doing physical activity and gives examples of moderate and vigorous, and then he shows strength training. So we are going to do some usability testing, and hopefully that will be helpful. We also asked these same folks in the limited health literacy groups how they felt about the recommendations, and there were mixed reviews. There were some acceptance of it. Some others said, well, that's fine for them. That's not for me. I'm never going to do it. And others, you know, were concerned about their health, their current health status, and whether they could work up slowly. They generally liked the idea of 10 minutes bouts. That's lingo for segments. And then we tested some pictorials, and in your handouts, I gave some handouts. There's 3 drawings of the ones that were tested, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about all of those, but you can see that there was one that had a calendar. If you look at the one in the next page, it's got a calendar, and it shows doing moderate activity, and then a next calendar, it shows vigorous activity. So people tended to think that that was too prescriptive. A lot of people thought that, and others tended to think that, well, maybe the one with fewer days is better. So we got some feedback on all of those, and it just, pictures do work, but it takes some explanation, and you really need examples, and they really like a variety of formats. They did say a couple of those formats together might work for them. but basically avoiding complicated messages. And we're still working on that, trying to figure out exactly the simplest way to portray the guidelines. We asked the public, we asked these groups, well, what are your sources of information? And we found out there are many. This sort of debunks the myth that low literacy folks do not use the web. They said they do use the web, and that it's a variety of internet use. WebMD is the most frequently used source for health information on the web, according to this group. Their trusted sources are medical professionals and also people with direct experience with physical activity. The key findings are, I just think I'll review all of these 5 years and the three key findings. Basically, we still need to raise awareness. These are new guidelines, and we need to improve people's understanding of them as we continue to promote them. There are key messages. Janet talked about a number of the messages, so we're going to pull out some of those key messages and promote those, especially using tailored examples, tools, and pictorials. And then start with their level of activity. We really did find out that the way people think about physical activity is based on where they are now. So if they're active, that's one way to address the messaging. But if they're not, we really need to tackle it a different way. And the focus groups that are planned for, I think it'll be January, are with active contemplators. Those people who are already active, but they're not meeting the guidelines, and they're thinking about getting more active. So we want to know what they think of the new guidelines and exactly what will help them understand them a little better. That's pretty much it, and these are the sources. And Kay's going to talk about the first two, the HHS websites, and that's the CDC website. And this is the tagline, be active, healthy, and happy. Thanks.
Thank you, Suzanne. Our next presenter